All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining us this Saturday, April 8th, 2017. A little chilly this morning, but my man who's always cool is Woody Lashin in studio. What's going on, Woody?
I hope I'll bring it some warm weather for golf.
Yeah, it's been a little, it's been a rough week the last week and a half. A lot of rain. It's been chilly. It's been
It was a rough March. I think it was coldest March on record.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, always a pleasure to have you back in studio. We were talking before the show. It's just always feels like it's things sort of come into place when we get the show started again. We got a couple of new sponsors. Really honored to have the Long Island Golf Association, the Superintendents Association, really honored to have them a part of the program now. PXG is a part of the program now. Just a really, it's just a nice golf family. You're a part of the program, obviously, co-hosting, and Elsa as a sponsor. So I just couldn't be more happy where the show is, couldn't be happy with the people that are involved with the show. Honored to have them, and it just feels like the real right, golf family we have as part of the program.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I personally look forward to doing this show. I know I'm looking at my schedules. When's Masters Saturday? Because the show's going to start, and we get in studio with Anthony and talk some golf, and that means golf season is here.
Yep. It's really we all love the Masters because it's the rite of passage, the spring rite of passage, right? We've been in the doldrums for most of the winter. It's part of the anticipation. It's the first Masters, but this is, for us, this is also part of it for, having the show back up and running after a long winter. It's just another layer for us of something that we're excited about, not just golfing, but being able to have you and to talk to the people that we'll get a chance to talk to this year makes it, when you love golf and you like talking golf, there's nothing more interesting than talking with other people who love golf and love talking golf. And we'll have another wonderful season of having those kinds of guests. And so it makes for another a layer of that rite of passage in the spring to get excited that it's not only Masters weekend, but it's the ceremonial tee shot for the On Par radio show.
I couldn't agree more. I'll tell you, one of the cool things I love about the show is we do it live.
Yeah.
So, some people tell me, well, why don't you tape it on a Thursday afternoon? I'm like, but it wouldn't have the same flavor. It's got to be Saturday morning, and we got to be thinking about golf and
What's happening in the world of golf, what's happening at that day. I mean, it's moving day at the Masters. We have a lot to talk about with that. We got a couple of things on our agenda to sort of to kick things off. But you're right. It is better when it's live because you can't anticipate. When you're pre-tape, you can't anticipate what's going to happen, whether it's a day later, 2 days later, when that show is going to air.
Right, and there's no editing, so when I mess up, you can't fix
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I did a little seminar with Kirk for the Met PGA this year, and all the comments I got were for a lot of my dyslexic moments.
What was that?
Overpromise, underdeliver, something like that. Oh boy, they taped it and they put it up on.
Oh boy,
couldn't edit that out for me, Kirk. Nope. Yeah.
Well, listen. That's not your job. So just remember that you're good at your job. You don't have to be a presenter. Anyway, that's Kirk's job. He should have been on that.
Well, he did. He did a great job. Yeah. Obviously, he did. His part was great.
Yeah. So why don't we take a first break and introduce you to some of those sponsors, and then we'll come back, and like I said, we have a lot to talk about. When we get back, and so we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag, designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game. PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back. Saturday, April 8th, 2017, talking with my man Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, let's go back a little bit. I know we're anxious to get to the Masters stuff and a couple of other things, but the year kind of starts with you with the Winter PGA Merchandise Show. Can you take us through that a little bit, just some of the things that that you remember most about it? What stares back at you when you think about it?
Well, you know, every year we go to Orlando to the PGA Merchandise Show. It's usually in the middle of January. I bring my whole team. This year, Pete actually came for a day and a half.
Oh, nice.
He hasn't been coming for a long time, but Arnold comes, Sonny comes, Kirk comes. It's just where all the everyone in the golf business meets. Mm-hmm. And the great thing for me is that not only do I get to see the manufacturers, but I get to see the few guys that do what we do around the country. I get to spend time and talk to them and, you know, get ideas. They're doing this, I'm doing that. So it's really a great learning experience for us from that standpoint. It's kind of like Groundhog Day because we do it every year, and it's in Orlando every year. And, we're seeing, even though we're seeing different people, it's very similar. But every year we walk away going, oh, okay. You know, we found this company's doing a little something different here. For example, Oban's got a steel shaft now that's made by Shimada, which is a Japanese company that makes great products. So we're really excited about that.
Just going back to the club fitting community, when you talk to them, is that a pretty close-knit community in terms of, I mean, you're sort of isolated here on Long Island, so it's not like you're necessarily competing with people in the Midwest or whatever the case may be, but I'm just curious if how collegial is that club fitting community?
You know, it's interesting. It's a very unique community because, first of all, there's not very many of us.
Right.
Second of all the guys that I know, they all did like we did, learned it on their own. No one taught them. No one, because there was no playbook. There was no textbook to, teach me how to club fit. They all, like ourselves, had to do it on our own. So a lot of them have big egos because, hey, I learned this on my own. No one taught this to me. And, you know, I do it my way, and my way is the best way. The best guys have an open mind. They say, oh, well, I do it this way. Maybe you do it that way. Oh, maybe that's better. Hey, can we get together and try and get the companies to do this? And we've gotten a few things done because we make friends because there aren't very many of us. So there's not a lot of guys you can talk to about club fitting.
Right.
So it's a very interesting community.
Right. But you guys you share a lot of ideas back and forth?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, there's so many different ways about going about club fitting. There's something, maybe there's a product that you haven't tried. Maybe there's a method that you haven't tried. We have a launch monitor debate all the time. You know, if you will, there's a bunch of different launch monitors. Each one has their positive and negatives, and guys tend to, you know, I use this one; it's the best. No, you can't use that one; it's garbage. I try not to act that way.
The
positive and negatives, and we use the one we use because we believe it's the best for our setup. But it doesn't mean it's the best for everybody.
Sure, sure. Just like, you know, everybody's grip is slightly a little different, and, you know, whatever the case may be, everybody's golf swing's different. You know,
right. Well, everyone's setup is different. If you're outside, if you're inside, there's, you know, are you trying to teach or are you trying to club fit?
Yeah.
You know, for club fitting, I'm looking for different things that you might be for a teaching.
Right, right. What else at the PGA Merchandise Show that kind of stares back at you?
Well, I mean, the hit product of the show is the Callaway Epic Driver.
Right.
That was the big one. We actually got a chance to test that in December. We got it early and got to test it, and it really tested quite well. It's a great product. It's certainly not a great product for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
There's other products out there. Cobra's got some really great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get fitted. You got to see what's right for you. But that Cali was the hot buzzword, and it continues to be the hot buzzword of the golf industry.
Yeah, it's you know, Rory, I think, put it in play. I think probably right now still has it in play. It was sort of an interesting dynamic, if you don't mind spilling into this this part of the show, and we'll get back to the PGA Merchandise Show. But there was an interesting dynamic when Nike left the hard goods sector. It sort of left this sort of vacuum to see what guys would normally play if they weren't under contract, you know, i.e., Rory playing the Epic. I mean, yeah, he's going to pick his irons whatever he wants, but you know, he had that. So it's, I think it's been kind of interesting to see what guys choose on their own to play. We don't normally get that.
Yes, you don't, but always remember that even though these guys are trying different things, chances are they know, hey, I'm going to try from a big company because if I like that company, I can get paid by them.
Right.
Right, because now Nike, Rory's a free agent when it comes to his clubs.
Right.
Tiger signed a deal with TaylorMade. I don't know if we'll see him again.
But, right.
But they're still trying to make money off their equipment, and they should, by the way.
Of course, yeah.
You know, those are great things to watch, but you shouldn't base what you use off what a PGA Tour professional uses.
Well, yes, and that's very apropos for you to point that out. And no, I would never do that. But I just find it interesting to see once in a while we get a peek into what somebody would want to play as opposed to who's paying them.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think that's a little telling. That's all.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think golf is a small niche industry.
Sure.
And I think Nike leaving is actually really a good thing because it's getting back to where it is, a small niche industry, and it's not a marketing, it's a performance industry. And the golf club companies that make golf clubs, they're performance companies. So I think it's a good thing for golf.
Do you think that maybe, is that part of the way I think, to me, part of what the perception of golf and the golf business has lost its way, and maybe it was all this grow the game stuff, to me, it lost its way in a sense when it stopped treating itself as a niche business. You know, it's a niche sport. And yes, you want to grow the game. Of course, you want another generation of kids. You want it to be a stable. It's a fun sport. It's a great sport. You want it to continue, and it always will. But I feel like somewhere along the line, the pie got too big.
You know, Anthony, the whole question is who was trying to do that?
Right.
These golf manufacturers, people trying to sell stuff.
Right.
That's who were trying to make it big.
Right.
USGA wasn't trying to do that.
Right.
The golfers in general weren't trying to do that. It was some outside influence. And they make you think that that's what they're trying to happen. When those of us in the golf business know it's not the case.
Yeah.
Speaking about growing the game, I don't know if you watch Drive, Chip, and Putt.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, I wish that was around when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. That was amazing. Just amazing. A friend of mine lives in Boca Raton at Boca Woods. And I, you know, go visit him every year. And I'm there 2 years ago. And there's this little girl and her friend playing golf. And I'm watching them play golf. And they are smoking the ball. And there they both were at Drive, Chip, and Putt.
Oh, my God.
One girl, Chloe, finished second.
That's amazing.
I know it's a combination of the Masters, the PGA, the USGA, sure. RNA all getting together to try and do something great. But let me tell you, hats off to the Masters for doing that.
Yeah.
Because that will get young people interested in golf.
Yeah, I think that's tremendous. I also think it would be nice if elite countries around the world would hold some of the sectionals. Like I know we do it at, I think they do it around here at Eisenhower or something like that. It would be nice if maybe some of the elite clubs.
They are doing that in some places.
In some places, yeah.
Yes, I want to say it was one of the regionals at Olympic or something
like
that.
Okay, right, exactly. Like that would be nice if you were able to. Now it's a little more difficult because those regionals are really early for our kind of season.
Yes.
It doesn't mean it can't happen around the country. It'd be really nice if they open their doors as well to the people that don't normally have access to those kids. That would be a nice touch to not just to finish playing at the Masters on TV, but also if you're able to have access to some of these elite clubs and get a sense of that the history of golf through these elite clubs. As part of the process to getting to the Masters.
I think you're going to see more and more of that because the Masters got some pretty good big pull. I mean, there's some people that are members all over the country there. So I think you're going to see more of that.
Yeah. But getting back to your point, I think you're right. It was the big businesses that were trying to grow this game. Everybody wants a piece of the pie, and the pie is only so big. And it seems like on some levels the pie is going to start at some point self-correct itself. There are a lot of people who make a living off the game of golf. And it's gotten, you know, that's changed over the years, right? How many more now? I mean, 20 years ago, how many fitness guys were doing golf, right? How many nutritionists were talking about golf?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so that's the landscape has changed a little bit. But as long as it remembers its roots, that it's a niche sport and that...
I think, by the way, the fitness guys and nutrition guys, that is... fantastic, because
Sure. Yes,
it helps your golf, but it helps your life.
It's a life, exactly. It's totally life changer.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, but the landscape has changed a little bit, but it also has to remember what it is, and it's a game of golf. It's a niche sport, and that's the way it's always going to be. It doesn't mean that we can't be a healthy niche sport, but I just think for a long time, it just lost its way. With the too many Grow the Game programs, there were so many great Grow the Game programs, you could hardly remember them all, you know, and how many of those are still around? You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, some of the first tees still around.
No, I know, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
That we were scrambling to grow the game. Like, what? You know what I mean? There's not a lot of Grow the Game of football. There's not a lot of, you know what I mean? How many initiatives do you see to grow the game of soccer? How many, you know what I mean? So they're... I just think we got a little frantic about the you know what I mean? It made us feel like the sport was in peril when it was never in jeopardy. It just was only in jeopardy of not being what they wanted it to be.
Right. I agree.
All right. We got to take a short break. We've been rambling on here. We'll be back in 1 minute listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
At Winfield United, we understand the challenges you face and the goals you have. We promise to do our best and to help you do yours. With the introduction of tools like the Geotech Insight platform and products like Droplex Extra, we are advancing the industry to new levels, allowing you to manage your time and budget more efficiently. Visit WinfieldUnitedPro.com to find a representative near you today. Winfield United, a proud sponsor of the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. In studio is the man, the myth, the legend, Woody Lash in Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, just real quick, I want to get to the Masters and if we can, rules insanity. Your shop, couldn't be more happy for you. I know you're a very modest and humble person, but couldn't be more happy that this has been a pretty strong winter for you at the shop. You've been very busy, and I'm happy for you and Pete. You know, talk a little bit about just... I know you would never bring it up, but you've been pretty busy. I've talked to you fairly regularly over the winter. You've been pretty crazy this winter for you.
Very, very happy to be busy.
Knock on wood. Yeah, I mean, of course.
Very, very. Knock on wood is right. Happy to be busy. I really think what you're seeing in the landscape of, example, Golfsmith is out of business, right?
Right.
What happened there? They weren't trying really to help golfers play better golf. They're just trying to sell them golf clubs.
Right.
And that doesn't work. And so and the consumer is becoming more and more educated. Fortunately, we've got a great reputation. I tell people that's only as good as a job that we do for that individual. The reputation might get you in the door, but it's only the fitting that we do for you, that's our reputation.
Yeah. And folks, I tell the story often. You and I talked 2 days ago. A buddy of mine was whose daughter is going to be making an appointment with you. I told you about first time, you know, beginner golfer, and I told him the story that I tell all the time that I met you 2 years before you were even part of the show. I went to you. I thought there was something wrong with the shaft on my driver. I said I was hitting it too high. I made an appointment. Paid my whatever it was, got fitted for the driver, and you were like, I said, I want to know if it's me or the shaft, and you're like, it's you, And I never forgot that. You know, you said, I can sell you whatever you want me to sell you, but it's you, so you better figure it out. So
I said a little nicer than that.
But yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, he did. I was paraphrasing in my New York way. So that story I relate to my friend. I said, listen, this is who he is. This is what you should do. So go get fitted and just let him give you the options. And that's how you're in the people business. And that's how you win customers. That's how you won me. That's how you're going to win this guy and the next guy and the next guy. That's all you have is your reputation. That's really what it comes down to. So, yeah, you could have sold me a $300 shaft and then never see me again. Right? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I call it old school business, Anthony.
Yep.
Be honest. Pay attention. Tell people the truth. You'll be around. And somehow, 38 years later, we're still around.
Exactly. But and I'm just happy that, you know.
You know, as opposed to, oh, if I sell you this, I make X. I don't look at it that way. And I don't want none of the guys at the store look at it that way. They look at, let's give the customer the best product that we can. If that means telling them there's nothing wrong with their driver, it happens. It happened yesterday. It happens all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was my last point. You know, that happened to me on one time. But I'm sure
it happens all the time.
You do it all the time, exactly. You know, because golfers are crazy, and they want to think it's something other than themselves sometimes. And or you know, maybe it was just something in my swing there was a little something in my swing. Maybe I just hadn't seen Kirk in a while. Whatever the case may be, it could have been. I just wanted to. I wanted to not think it was me. I wanted to think it was the equipment, like everybody else. All right,
we got to turn the attention off of me. Let's talk about the Masters.
We'll get to that. So we'll start with. You know, I guess we'll go right to the Masters. First of all, fantastic leaderboard, but we have a local kid.
We got to talk about Stuart Hagerstedt.
Yes, Stuart Hagerstedt, local Met PGA Player of the Year.
Metropolitan Golf Association.
Golf Association Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's an amateur.
Amateur. Yeah, sorry. Yes, sorry about that. Yes, the MGA. So
and he won the USGA Mid-Am.
Yep.
Which gets you into the Masters.
Yep.
And ever since they've been letting the USGA Mid-Am champion in, no one has ever made the cut.
Yep. Fantastic.
Stu made the cut.
I mean, he's not. We like to claim him as a local boy. He is from California. He's from Southern California.
But he's playing out of Deepdale.
He's playing
now.
Out of Deepdale. So that's right.
That's now right. He's local.
Yes, he's a. He's in finance. He's in the city. I don't know exactly what he does, but I know what he does well. I'm sure he does well there as well. But he's a fantastic golfer, obviously.
I mean, just the shot he hit on 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. I mean, very impressive to make the cut there. I mean. I was lucky enough to get a chance to go to the Masters last year.
Yes, I remember.
And folks, if you ever get the opportunity, I almost turned it down. I'm very happy I didn't. It's one of the most magical places you can imagine, but it is a hard golf course, and it is up and down hills. You can't see, you just can't understand.
Yeah. Well, the TV flattens it out, you know. So
yes,
you really have a hard.
Yes, it does. But amongst other things, I mean, I was just talking to someone who came back from the Masters, and he was saying that everyone in the town of Augusta, in the whole area, couldn't be nicer. And he said he came back to New York, and some guy cut him off, and, you know.
Back to normal.
He's like, oh, I guess I'm back to New York. I was someplace else for a couple days.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Tom Kaplan, who's a friend of the program, and he's on quite often, mm-hmm. Superintendent. We're going to have him, North Hempstead. He was just there for the first time. So I'm hoping to get him either next week or in the near future. So we'll be talking. I'm very interested to get his perspective from a superintendent's perspective. That place must be like Disneyland.
He's thinking the budget that they have there. Wow. Oh, come on, give me that budget.
You're probably not thinking of that budget. Yeah, exactly. I mean, what's your budget? Unlimited. I mean, if there's anybody who has almost complete control over Mother Nature, it's Augusta. I mean, I don't know another place that does.
I will tell you that it when you go there in the morning, it looks like someone vacuumed the place.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's there. You don't see a wrapper around. You don't see trash around. I mean, It's one of my friends is going. He's like, oh, there's all kinds of crazy rules. And I said to him, there's no crazy rules. Act like a human being.
Exactly.
Walk. Don't run. Don't yell out at crazy things.
Yeah.
Be respectful. And the patrons are because Augusta is respectful of them.
Exactly.
When you come in the morning, there's members out there welcoming you to the Masters. They're if you see a member, and you could tell them because they're wearing their green jackets.
Sure.
They're always happy to engage you and answer your questions.
Yeah.
It's you know even the bathroom attendants are, yeah. You know, couldn't be nicer.
I know it's a unique situation, but you know, not every tournament can function that way. I get it, but I do think that it's. They treat you the way you want to be treated, and the patrons act like they should act.
Exactly.
And like you said, a normal human being.
Exactly.
There's no reason why you need to get all liquored up and yell, you know, mashed potatoes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not necessary.
I agree.
And that's, as far as I'm concerned, not growing the game either. So we have a fantastic leaderboard. I know we want to get to maybe some of the rules insanity, but... Charlie Hoffman, Sergio Garcia, Thomas Peters, Ricky Fowler, McGirt, and a host of guys at...
Mickelson's close.
At one under, yep. Speed
even. How about Freddie playing good?
Well, Freddie on the first page of the leaderboard is like is just as traditional as the Masters ever, you know, the back nine on Sunday. I mean, I don't expect to see him there on Sunday, but it's nice to see him doing his annual thing.
Great.
It's amazing.
That's great.
But, you know, an exciting leaderboard, a nice mix of, you know, a little bit of intrigue with Garcia. Can he do it? Mickelson, you know, one of the oldest to win, and maybe tie Arnold Palmer, Spieth, the redemption. There's a lot of good, juicy storylines.
There's a lot of great stories. It's going to be great golf. Can't wait for this afternoon.
Ricky Fowler. People ask me all the time, who's going to win the Masters? I said, it's not who's going to, you know, people ask me all the time, who's going to win this? Who's going to win? I said, you don't say who's going to win. You say, who do you want to win? Because golf predicting is like, it's ridiculous. You know, it's a fun thing to play in the contest and stuff like that, but there's no who's going to. It's who you want. And I always say Phil, of course, but I think I have to side if there's a close second, if there's a 1A and a 1B, I think I have to go with Ricky Fowler. I think there's a certain karma. He was the only, you know, he flew back to Arnold Palmer's. When he couldn't play in Arnold Palmer's tournament last year, he drove to Bay Hill, wanted to tell him in person. When Arnold Palmer passed away, he flew back with the Ryder Cup, was at the funeral. You know, he was there. He was at the first tee ceremony where they paid homage to him. He was there front and center, as Mickelson usually is. I don't think he was this year, but he was there. So I feel like there's a certain golf karma coming back to Ricky Fowler, who... and sort of deserves. He's been up there. I just like to see. He's my 1B of who I want to win.
Well, I'd love to see him win. I mean, he's good for the game of golf. He's a good person. Would be great. I just, you know, there's nothing better. The back nine on Sunday. What's going to happen? I mean, last year Spieth had it, and
yeah. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy to root for. There's a lot of good guys. We got to take one short break. We'll be back in 30 seconds. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Play like a pro with a custom set of PXG clubs in your bag, designed to deliver unrivaled performance and fitted to optimize your game. PXG clubs will help you unlock your true potential. We guarantee you've never played like this before. Get fitted for PXG clubs at Pete's Golf Shop today.
All right, welcome back, Woody. We didn't get to the rule stuff, but maybe we'll have you again in real soon. I hope you'll be in soon.
Absolutely,
always a pleasure to have you in studio. It always goes too fast, but I think we covered a lot of ground. Very interesting conversation. Always a pleasure to have you in, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Anthony. It was great.
Thanks, folks, for joining us. We'll be back next week. And remember, you can catch us not only on 1240 AM, but 95.9 FM as well, if that works better for you in your car and or online. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.